The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. This is on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast, or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football Feed. We are sponsored by Underdog. Underdog, one of the only places that I did well today. It was all about that Kyler Minnesota-Arizona game action in the Battle Royale. You can deposit using the promo code GRID, get a free wager. And also, it's nice for the Sunday night tilt. So I'm sitting here tilting and I'm in the pick 'em contest. I'm on all the Patrick Mahomes and Chiefs overs because, guys, the people, they get their favorite show. I lost. I late swapped and still lost, and both of you guys won. This is the people's favorite combination. So we're here. We did it. I didn't play Cooper Kupp. I have Gills.
But you did play four receivers and you managed to make none of them Cooper Kupp, which is amazing impressive. In and of itself. Well done.
It's really impressive. We got to get to that at some point.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to do the normal show because my lineup is so different from what I entered at noon. I think late swapping off of five players has got to be the most that I have ever late swapped.
Is that a direct reflection on how bad your lineup actually was?
Yes. So the chalk team that easily cashed was Dak or Herbert at quarterback, Chris Carson at running back, Najee Harris at running back, and four wide receivers. And the four wide receivers were Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, and Cooper Kupp. Though, funnily enough, neither one of you guys played that exact team. Nate got pretty close to it, but that was the chalk team. The 2v2 off of that team was Emmanuel Sanders and Keenan Allen over Ja'Marr Chase and Cooper Kupp. That was what I opted for, and it did not go very well. I mean, Cooper Kupp's first touchdown, I don't know if anyone was within 20 yards of him. It was at that point that I knew that I was in trouble.
I mean, anytime you can take like PPR God with a great offensive mind and Matthew Stafford plus a generational talent, Ja'Marr Chase, and, you know, do a 2v2 off of that with dusty Emmanuel Sanders and Keenan Allen, who's like scored two career touchdowns.
I gotta be honest. A lot of the times I would feel the need to berate myself, but I still feel like that 2v2 was pretty close, and I don't really feel that bad about it.
Nate, we need a take.
Okay, give me the exact 2v2 again, because I'm still confused. Like, Kupp was, you took four receivers, which I think is the sharp way to build in cash. Like, I got off of the four receiver build, but you didn't get like Kupp. Kupp was very clearly one of the top two guys that you wanted in cash. I would say of the cash wide receivers, it was like Amari, CeeDee, and Kupp. Like, those were the three.
Well, Keenan was actually the best. Keenan was the best value projection. Like, he was the one who was in He was in our optimal. He was in the Blitz optimal. Like he was in.
He ended up being the highest owned in cash games too. But like, yeah, how did you not get? So what was the exact 2v2?
It was Emmanuel Sanders and Keenan Allen versus Cooper Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase was the exact 2v2.
Yeah, so I was on the other side of that. Exactly, because I had.
And I don't think that was bad. I mean, that was so our optimal was actually a little different than the chalk that everyone had. So our top optimal was Dak, Najee. We actually had Eli Mitchell, and then Amari Cooper, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, Jared Cook, Chris Carson, and the Bears D is what our optimal was. But I mean, we had Daryl Henderson was 0.3 points was our second optimal. Cooper Kupp was in 56% of our top ones. Amari Cooper was in 100% of them. I don't know, this is not a spot where I'm like, dude, you really should have known before the games lock. Like sometimes you just run into the 40 burger, you know, like that's dude, really no. What I think.
This is not one of those. I like built so many cash lineups this week and Kupp was legit in every single one. Like obviously with wide receiver scoring like this, you're going to get games that go off. They could have easily been Cooper that did it. It could have easily been another one of these high price guys.
I feel like every time a wide receiver has 40 points and is 40% owned, one of us has to fade him, right? Because we had the Kirk game that all of us faded and the Fuller game that I think we all faded it. I mean, maybe Sandy
we did. Played it, we but did. We did. I don't like that you're bringing up old shit here, man. This hurts my soul. I just feel like
in my heart knew he was going for 40, and I had to fade him for the show. Like I feel like maybe that was it.
Yeah, I don't know how you ended up off of him. Doesn't make a ton of sense.
Four wide receivers and none of them was Kupp. Jesus Christ.
It's very obvious. I prioritize getting the third guy from the Chargers Cowboys game. So you could say it was Cooper, you could say it was Lamb, you could say it was Keenan, but it was just getting a third guy from that game as opposed to a guy not from that game.
What a freaking, did you guys watch that game? What a bust that game was. Like it felt like it should have had a lot of points. Like they were moving up and
there,
down.
There wasn't a punt, like, and there wasn't a punt until the last drive of the third quarter, I believe.
Yeah, how did this game go under? It scored like 37 points. Like they just dicked around and got a bunch of penalties in critical spots.
Herbert and Dak took a bunch of sacks on second down in the red zone. Like it was just one of those games. All right, well let's start it. Let's start at quarterback. So, you guys both played Herbert over Dak. I'm interested in why that was, because I had Dak originally before I swapped.
I know why Nate's gonna say it, and I'm probably gonna say the same thing, is that Herbert, so first off, the $100 was important to me in the lineup I ended up landing on. I couldn't have fit Dak. I was maxed out. But secondly, the projections that I was working with had Herbert like a point above, and it was all right. Like I felt like either of them were good. The game environment was going to be money. I didn't have like a strong feeling one way or the other. I was scared of fading Dak. But man, Dak fell on his face, bro. Like this was a spot. I was not expecting Dak to fall on his face like this, at least numbers wise.
Yeah. I mean, they were so close. I think anybody who like had a strong take on either one, it was a coin flip either way, but I went Herbert because I think Zeke/Pollard have some red zone equity where like Herbert is the guy who all the offense is going to flow through. I don't really worry about Eckler in the red zone. Chargers don't have a lot of running, and Herbert has rushing equity that I don't think Dak right now in the red zone does. If they get to the 3-yard line, it's going to be 3 Zeke runs where the Chargers, like everything that gets scored is going to go through Herbert.
It could also be just one Pollard run. They could actually score a touchdown.
Yeah. So I went Herbert just because I think his touchdown upside is a little bit higher, but they were legit like the same play basically. But I just went Herbert because of, yeah, it was a coin flip though. I don't think anybody could have, like, that wasn't what made or broke you in cash.
I played Dak because in my OG lineup, I had the two Cowboys wide receivers, and that was as simple. Like, it was just like, that was my tiebreaker. And I had the $100. So at running back, Nate played three, like in the most obvious four wide receiver week in the history of DraftKings.com. Nate, you chose to play Damian Harris over.
This is wild.
Okay. Time out.
This is
okay. Nate, Davis.
Have you been accosted or in some way like your body has been taken over?
Okay, Davis, first of all, pretending this is the most obvious, like four wide receivers. All week, I was like, I'm playing four wide receivers. And Davis going, you're a fish, literally all week. And then this morning, Davis wakes up and is like, all right, I'm on. It's four wide receivers.
We wake up to a text, Davis saying, all right, guys, yeah. All right, it is a four wide receiver week.
So I was on four wide receivers most of the week. It was just, I mean, I wanted Kupp, I wanted Keenan, I wanted Cooper. And then it was trying to figure out who that fourth wide receiver was. I think I had some builds with Waddle. I had some builds with Beasley.
And then Nate saw that Ramondre Stevenson wasn't active. Like we all saw that Trey Sermon was inactive last week and he overreacted to Ramondre being inactive. I mean, it's okay, Nate, you can admit it. You're amongst friends, bud.
Nate, were you tilting when James White ran in the 7-yard touchdown early in the game?
Yes.
I guarantee he was tilting his face off.
Heck yes. That was why you play him, because it's going to be that type of game. And he's going to get all of that workload. I did not expect James White goal line usage. That was just not in my model for today. But yeah, I mean, I think those, that fourth wide receiver, I never could find one that I felt decent about in cash. Like Waddle, Waddle, Beasley, and Sanders.
I know, but Waddle was the best. I couldn't make the salary work without playing the Jets D, and I did not want to play the Jets D.
I don't know. I couldn't get comfortable with that fourth wide receiver. I wanted to do it, couldn't pull the trigger on it, and then ended up on Harris. I also liked Henderson a lot.
Why didn't you just play the team that everybody played with, Amari, CD, Chase, and Kupp?
Because Nate had to pay
$3,500. He had to pay $3,500 for a defense, which is like, Nate, I know you won this week, so it's hard to really take off on dunks for you. But like at lock, I would have like snapped, like laid like -120 for your team against mine, I think.
Nemo, no, but here he plays Damian Harris and $3,500 for Cleveland. I don't know what's going on, man, but. I mean, we can't hate too hard because you beat us again. Feels bad.
Yeah, again, it wasn't about like paying up a defense and then getting on Damian Harris. It was, I couldn't find a fourth wide receiver I was comfortable about, got on Damian Harris, and then that's where the rest of my build left me at defense. I'm not like,
so,
defense is.
So Nate played three running backs. He played a running back and flex and a four wide receiver week. He paid $3,500 for defense. I mean, Nate, you got. No, how many receptions did you get from your running backs? You got Damian Harris had one reception, Chris Carson had none, and Najee Harris had five. I mean, this is
very
so unlikely,
brand.
Dude. Yeah.
Your brand is taking a hit, kid.
It was a, like, Damian Harris was a bad play. I there's no other way to say it. I got lucky with this Damian Harris thing. I should have gotten killed. It was just running backs were terrible this week. But like, Damian Harris only got one target.
Yeah. Can I ask you a real question? Why? I think it was like a $300 difference between Harris to get up to Daryl Henderson. Why did you not do that and make that a priority?
I had them projected like relatively similar after the inactives came out. Like, and I just went with Harris because I thought the work, like, not the workload was better, but the game environment was better. I thought Patriots were just literally going to run the ball 35 times here. Like, and Harris was just going to have 2-3 touchdowns. Like, I thought he was just going to smash. And yeah, it was a bad play. I mean, the fact that White was out there as much as he was, like, I got real lucky. I mean, literally White's usage was,
he was in a 50% timeshare with James White, straight up.
Worse. White had more snaps. White had 29 snaps and ran 19 routes. Damian Harris ran 25 snaps and got 8 routes. Like,
oh my
the
God.
Dude, I mean, I got so lucky with this play. It was a bad play. And I, like the James White usage, I just was not expecting. And maybe I should have, but I just didn't think the Jets sets up for James White.
I just want you to know, I actually had this argument with Colin all week when we were working on projections. And in our first run, Damian Harris was projected for 18 and a half DraftKings points and like 80% of the backfield touches. And I was like, no, we are fixing this. This is absolutely not it. And I gave James White way more than he'd ever had. And I was still low. And I gave JJ Taylor a bunch of touches, obviously, of which he's never had in the NFL. Like I felt like that. I liked Harris a lot for tournaments on DraftKings because I knew he was going to be relatively low owned and he could score twice. But I mean, I think the fact that you chose to pay $3,500 for the Browns defense and you play Damian over Daryl Henderson does not speak well for you.
Yeah, your mic was cutting out a little bit. All I heard was, Nate, you crushed us on DK this week. 144 points.
Also, we got a dunk on Sammy here, who plays Troutman at tight end. Literally, Sammy. He's got a fish in the name. It's Troutman is in the name, bud.
Sammy, there's like four or five tight ends this week, and you play Trout. Like, I literally can't imagine flipping Troutman.
Nate, can you look up Troutman's Whopper for me real fast?
I mean, it's zero because he wasn't targeted.
That's right. Zero targets for Troutman. I mean, dude, he gets on 20 attempts last week. I was like, dude, we get a couple of targets from Troutman. It's fine. He was 3K, right? I didn't have the 1,000 to move up. Like the way I was constructing, I just didn't have the 1,000 to move up to the awesomeness that was Tyler Higbee.
Yeah, I mean, I am pretty shocked that Higbee did so poorly. You know, considering his usage last week, I will say Nate played Fant, and I think that's fine. I mean, Fant, obviously he scores the touchdown or whatever. I thought that was like a razor close 2v2. I think we had Higbee for like 0.05 points more or something, like just, you know, just a total razor's edge. And I lost every decision today, just every decision. I was they're on the wrong side.
Do you guys know how good this show would have been if I had flipped over Durham Smythe like I did, like I definitely had at some point last night?
But did he catch a pass or something? Why was Durham
Smythe? I have no idea who you, like, Sammy, what are you looking at when it comes to playing tight ends? Like, literally, the guys that I was looking at all week was like Fant, Higbee, Cook, maybe a little bit of Pitts. Troutman, wasn't even on the radar for me.
He had 6 targets last week, mate.
He's splitting tight end usage with Juwan.
That is not a legitimate point. Juwan Johnson ran 10 routes last week. That's like saying that Jared Cook is splitting with Parham.
It's basically this. I realized that Higbee and Fant were like the two chalky, really good tight ends. And I was just like, you know, I kind of have to put this in context because I really wanted to play Alvin Kamara. And I paid 88 DraftKings points. Oh, I cashed, man. Like, that's done disaster. But yeah, that's why I decided to punt it tight end.
Yeah. So Sammy plays Alvin Kamara and Najee Harris in the early games. Now obviously he has Cup, so he's not sweating it and has Carson as well. So Sammy, you also played free running backs. Your internet is a disaster. I assume your internet being a disaster is it's somehow complicated, like led you.
It's related to playing a split time tight end.
I got the Adam Troutman package with my internet.
Juwan does run more routes than Troutman, by the way.
Part time.
He may have in this game. He did not last week. He ran 10 routes in week one, Nate. That's just true.
Yeah. Well, this week he definitely did. This week he ran more routes on less snaps.
Well, he was rewarded for playing well. Also, I mean, two New Orleans Saints for Sammy when they get ran out of the building by Sam Darnold and the Carolina Panthers.
They just beat the Packers 38-3. I'm like, this team, dude, Jameis Winston. I want some of that Jameis equity. Like, what's the problem? You know, Alvin Kamara. Oh, he's gonna have the biggest workload at the side of CMC. Like, nut run out for him. And bro, it was all bad. Like, I was watching that game and I was like, dude, this is not like, thank God I had Cooper Kupp, because like the decisions were bad.
Yeah. I didn't even consider a high price running back this week. I like in cash.
I did on like Tuesday, but it just became clear that it was not the optimal way to build, but it doesn't matter. Sammy fades Amari Cooper, no problem. Sammy fades Keenan Allen, no problem.
Easy game.
Gets his 40.
I've made a career out of fading Keenan Allen, by the way. Like, yeah, like
that actually should have been my first clue that like playing Keenan Allen, it's literally never worked out for me. So I should have just played Chase and Kupp, because keep playing Keenan Allen when Keenan Allen's chalk is just like never good. I absolutely detest it. All right. So I guess this is, we can talk about, Sammy, you played the Jets defense. They got 3. I played the Eagles defense. They got 1. Nate played the Browns defense. They got 5.
Did your defense have a big snowflake next to it?
They did.
Yeah. Screw defense. Let's talk more about running back. Cause I don't think I considered anybody above that mid tier at all this week. I mean,
there wasn't a cheap wide receiver or tight end to make it work unless you played a guy you projected for 0 points.
Yeah. So I'll say this. The reason why I decided to go Kamara over the spot, I would have done Henderson. And Henderson was the other guy I was considering there, is because I just wasn't confident in Henderson's receiving usage, whereas I'm really confident in Kamara's. And Henderson ended up getting a decent amount of targets. I don't know if you guys have it in front of you, but he caught like 3 or 4 balls. He was used in the passing game in a way that he wasn't in week one. I hate to take just 1 week's worth of data, but even going back to last year, you know, Cam Akers was never thrown the ball. And so it's been quite a while since the Rams have really used their running backs in any sort of like decent receiving role, basically since Prime Gurley. And I was just like, you know what? I saw a floor for Henderson that I just didn't feel amazing about. And Kamara just has this mega high floor, obviously, in theory. And I just decided I'd feel a lot safer that way. And I was still able to get wide receivers that I liked. So that was kind of the thinking. Maybe it's wrong, but yeah, I was not fully believing in Henderson. He ended up doing really well, even though he like left early hurt.
He got hurt, and Sony came in and did well too. I mean, Henderson was setting up for 100-yard bonus. Like he would have been 25 DK points or whatever had he not gotten hurt.
Yeah, I had a ton of Henderson in GPP, and his workload, his usage before the injury was like one of the best on the slate. I mean, I think he had like 22 routes run. He's out there every single snap. And so the injury is a huge bummer, because he was like, I don't know why. I think it's just season long stuff got people off him, but his ownership this week was way low compared to what it should have been. So I'm a fish for considering Harris over him.
I played 100% Henderson in tournaments. Again, it didn't end up mattering. So this is where I was at the end of the 1 p.m. games. So I had Najee, who got 19, but whatever. I mean, he was the most owned guy. He did not matter. I had Emmanuel Sanders. He had 6.8 points. Sanders played 93% of the snaps last week, led the team in average depth of target. Yeah, I mean, everyone knows. Like, I just needed him to get like 12. He did not get 12. So that's going to be bad. Then I had Higbee, who had 1.8. One reception for 8 yards. And I had the Eagles defense, who had 1 point. I knew what was coming. I knew everyone had the Dallas and LA players, so I knew I couldn't play any of them. So I swapped to Brady from Herbert and Prescott. That went well. I swapped to Zeke over Carson. They literally played to like a draw. Zeke got 17. Carson got 15 with 2 touchdowns. Not that I was tilting the fact that he scored 2 touchdowns inside the 5-yard line, thanks to penalties and turnovers. It's fine. Then I played Mike Evans. This was where I made the mistake. I mean, not a mistake. Like, I think the thought process was fine, but it just didn't work out. I played Antonio Brown and I played DeAndre Hopkins. And Hopkins had 15 points at the end of the Cardinals' first drive and didn't catch another pass. He might not have even been targeted again.
He's no Rondell Moore, mate. He's just no Rondell Moore.
Rondell Moore's usage in this was insane.
He played like 21 snaps and got like 8 targets.
He's the Damian Harris of wide receivers, basically. He just comes in and scores like 8 fantasy points per snap. you know, this goddamn podcast is basically turning into just like Davis talking about his swaps, because
yeah, well, it really is.
Hopefully I won't have to. Hopefully one of these weeks I'll actually play the good plays and I won't have to. I got like 30-35% back, which just feels like an absolute miracle. I mean, it truly feels like a miracle considering how dead I was at the end of the
week.
Like,
Getting to Brady over Dak and Herbert was obviously a big piece of equity, because Brady had like 30 something, and I think Herbert got 19 and Dak had less. Let me ask you guys this. Like, Dak really isn't running a ton anymore since his injury. We didn't have a lot of data on that, but it was to be expected. I don't think he ran a lot in week one. Herbert has a little rushing upside, but not a ton. Were we not considering Brady enough as like a cash play?
We had Brady as the highest projected quarterback on the slate. He was in more of our top optimals than Dak was, but I still played Dak out of, I think, pure stubbornness.
I just think about that. Like, if you're, cause Brady has like zero rushing equity, except like every once in a while he gets like a quarterback sneak touchdown, but I don't know if you're considering the other two guys and we're putting literally all of our eggs in one game basket that ended up busting, like we're kind of jobbed. So I don't know. Maybe we should have considered Brady more as like a standalone cash play.
Yeah, I wasn't on Brady enough this week. I had a couple of his receivers, but I mean, when he's going to throw like this, the efficiency of that team is just unreal right now. Obviously these last two games are, I mean, the competition on this one wasn't much, but I think we're going to have to look at Brady more and just this Tampa Bay
especially because they were on the 1 yard line three separate times and they did not hand it off to Fournette. They were just like, nope, let's do this. Like,
Mike Evans did it route. Here we go. Gronk to the corner. Here we go. Yeah.
Arians is the type of coach to let a guy just have a generationally like run up his numbers for the season. Like, I could totally see Arians just going like, we're going to get Brady as many touchdowns as he wants this year. Even if it's on the 1 yard line. So I know it's narrative street a little bit, but I mean, Brady looks like he's going to throw for five touchdowns here.
Yeah. So, I think my swap was fine. Everyone I swapped to was single digit owns and cash. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins was 3%. If Hopkins does what Lockett does or whatever, I'm fine. You know, I briefly thought about Lockett and then ended up not doing it. Ridley, actually, if I'm looking at this team I made, I actually probably should have played Ridley because it correlated better with the Buccaneers players. Not that it really matters, but that was my late swap. It scrounged me back. I mean, if I would have stuck with those Cowboys players, I literally would have gotten $0 back. Like, I would have gotten $0 back from my Cowboys lineup. So always be swapped. It's actually amazing. Literally every lineup I had, single entry, I swapped everything. Like all of my stuff had to be swapped because of how bad the 1 p.m. games were. It was really bad. I mean, this was the worst Sunday I can remember since the Mark Andrews game, the 99 yard Mark Andrews game with the drop touchdown. I think that this is the worst it's been since then. It was really bad. I was very unhappy.
Davis, you swap more often and like you are forced to swap in cash more often than anyone I know. Like, well, I understand that swapping is good in tournaments and other things like that, but you put yourself in position in cash games all the time where you're just like throwing out the whole thing.
Most people just don't. That's the thing. It's like, if I think I'm 5 points behind where I need to be, I will just do it. And most people don't. Like last week, I don't even remember the exact swap I made, but like there could have like, another person who I'm in a chat with had the same team and they didn't swap. Right. It was.
Yeah. You had a 40 point swap last week. You had the nuts last week when you swap.
But what I'm saying is most people don't swap in that spot. And I think that the sweep equity, especially because I play so much head to head, is so valuable that those spots where even if you're 5 points behind, I think you should be swapping there. And I think that's why I'm swapping probably 50% of the time I'm swapping after the 1 p.m. game.
And the other 50%, like 20 minutes before the game start, you're texting us like, guys, I think I need to swap. guys, I think I'm going to swap. Like, you are, I mean, and don't get me wrong, like, swapping is a theoretically sound thing that
unless
most
you are
people
nutted,
don't take.
Unless you are nutted out, you, like, need to be thinking about it. Like, if you had Cup today, obviously you don't need to be thinking about it. But even if you had a decent team going, you know, you avoid, like let's say, so on my team, let's say I play Waddle and I play Fant, but I have the Eagles defense with 1 point and with Najee, some people probably just stay there. They're like, oh yeah, you know, I got 10 from Waddle, got the touchdown from Fant, like I might be okay. And that's a spot where some people stay and I'm swapping 100% of the time in that spot, which I think you should be doing. Because I think if you are behind, like playing these like 60% on plays, it's terrible. It just cannot be defended. IMO. All right, let's do the tournament. The 300K red zone, 50K to first single entry. This is the one that we are doing. And Sammy, I played Troutman, buddy. I did. I played Troutman on this team. Got the snowflake.
Hey, wait, you're dunking on me. You played Troutman in the single entry. What you doing?
Because the logic, your logic was not that terrible. He just wasn't a cash play.
Whatever.
Yeah. All right. Nate, what did you do for your primary single entry team?
For my primary single entry team, I had a Tannehill stack. I went Tannehill with Brown and, I brought it back, or it was a Tannehill double stack with Brown and Julio, and then I brought it back with Lockett. My running backs, I went Deontay Harris and Williams from Denver. I think he was my favorite, like, tournament running back of the week, Javonte Williams. I think he's, like, at 4-4, I'm so bummed every time Melvin Gordon touches the ball. Williams is the most talented running back in Denver by far. And every time he touches the ball, he creates like 3 to 4 extra yards. And then they just give it to Melvin Gordon 25 times. And it's the most tilting thing in the world. Javonte should have had like a huge game here going up against this terrible defense in Jacksonville. But I mean, I was really happy in the early slate when I flipped with Steelers D, Javonte Williams, Damon Harris. And I only had like, they were both 12% owned from the running back standpoint. I made a full Najee Harris fade in all tournaments. Like, I just excluded him from my every single one of my GPP builds, and pretty much went like totally contrarian at running back so that I could pay up at these the later games and get the guys that I wanted. So, and then wide receiver, I went Lockett, Brown, Godwin, Julio, and then had tight end is Jared Cook, who had a touchdown called back that was so tilting.
Yeah, well, Nate, I mean, the real tilt for you was not Jared Cook, but it was just smashing in Titans and completely not playing Derrick Henry, who was the key to the entire slate. I mean, Jesus H. Christ, like the big dog just came to eat, and they were down the entire game. Like, it's just unbelievable. I had 0% Henry in tournaments, and, you know, just like feels so bad.
Yeah, what was your single entry team, Sammy?
So one of the things that I really wanted to do in tournaments was to do a direct pivot against Najee and CeeDee Lamb, and basically at the same price points, it's both pivots and leverage, play Deontay Johnson and Zeke. And so that's what I did in this lineup. I stacked Herbert and Keenan Allen and brought it back with Zeke. And then I played Mike Evans, Jamar Chase. I actually had Jared Cook on this team too. Eagles defense with the snowflake. But yeah, like that was, I wanted to create a somewhat chalky lineup, but just create leverage in the way of having, you know, Deontay Johnson in a spot where, you know, Deontay is just a true alpha. And of course he had 9 for 105, got the bonus, you know, he just did Deontay things, you know, smashed CeeDee Lamb. And, you know, Zeke had an okay game, but I think I thought that the Dallas passing game was just going to be so chalky that pivoting onto their run game was going to be great. And Zeke did fine, but I think the one thing to recognize is, and we've known this for a while, but Tony Pollard is irrepressible. Tony Pollard is clearly better than Ezekiel Elliott, and they are not giving Zeke like that massive, massive workload like they used to. Like they're giving Pollard the work through the air. They're giving him some gimmick stuff. They're giving him some rushes. And that turns Zeke from like a really, really great player to like an okay player. Like he's fine, but you know, certainly.
Yeah. He's like Chris Carson.
That's right. That's right. So that was basically the theory behind that lineup.
Yeah. So my OG team, obviously was a Dak double with Mike Williams. I thought Mike Williams would be like a little bit less owned. What it turned into was a Russell Wilson with Metcalf and Julio Jones. So basically, it was Russell Wilson, Ezekiel Elliott, Damian Harris, DK Metcalf, Julio Jones, KJ Hamler, Adam Trautman, Austin Eckler, Cardinals defense. And I only played the Cardinals defense because I wanted more swaptions, right? Because that was like the theme of the week coming in, right? All the touts were talking about the swaptions with the late games and everything, and it ended up coming home to roost. This Lockett thing, is Lockett just gonna score a 70-yard touchdown every single week?
Lockett's gonna do this right up until the time he's chalky, and then he's going 2 for 16. We have seen this story before.
Yeah, you cannot play Lockett at above double-digit ownership. Like you just can't. You have to fade him once he gets there. But when he's 5% owned like this, Lockett was my most owned wide receiver of tournaments. Godwin was right there with him, but Lockett at this rate is like, when you can get these Russ Lockett double stacks with under 5%, they're all single digit. That's really
the question is, do you single stack Russ with the bring back or do you try to press for the double stack? Right. Cause Swain scored a 70-yard touchdown in this game as well. So obviously if that's Metcalf, you're feeling pretty good about it. But
I think the double stack works if you have one of those cheaper options. I don't think I would ever like suggest double stacking both Metcalf and Lockett, but there are other ways to get exposure to Seattle. I mean, they do like Everett or I think I had some Disley. Obviously he didn't do anything today, but I think that there's double stack options in Seattle. But I mean, I typically double stack every time with a bring back versus a single stack, no matter who. It's just trying to find a cheap play.
So I do the same thing. I actually think single stacking Russ feels like the way to go. Like it just feels like one of those dudes gets 30 every game. And do we even have a track record of them both doing it? Like, I think there was one game. No, I think there was one game where Lockett had 2 touchdowns and Metcalf also had 2 last year. Maybe the Jets game.
But it's so almost always one or the other. It really is.
This is going to get like in the weeds a bit, but structural building when it comes to tournaments is just much more predictive than these individualized takes that we have on teams and the volatility of those players. Like
I agree.
Russ, I think the idea of like, you can't double stack Russ, even though we have data that shows that like double stacking is the optimal way to build tournament lineups time and time and time again. It's like the idea of why zero RB, like structural drafting versus trying to come up with these anomalies and evaluating each individual player in these team. Like, I think the idea of like, you can double stack some people, you can't double stack others, or Lamar, you can't because he's a running, like, I think it's much better to have a structural based building approach than it is to try to come up with these individualized, like high volatility, low volatility. All of that stuff ends up being noise most of the time. When you look at like individual player volatility, it almost always averages out to zero. People used to say last year, Lockett is too volatile. This year he's going to be almost individual player volatility basically doesn't exist.
See, I don't get this, Nate, because this is an extremely sharp take. It's very nuanced and it's correct. And yet you're the same person that played Damian Harris in cash. Like this does not line up for me. I don't understand how this is.
The David Harris thing was bad. It was like at 11:15, like 45 minutes before lock. I saw the tweet of like Ramondre, and I was like, oh, they're going to run the ball. Oh, he's not in the doghouse. He's going to have 25 carries, $400 cheaper than Henderson. Lock it in. It was bad. It was bad.
Very sketch, bro.
It was real bad.
All right. We gotta talk about D. Henry. 6 targets.
No, we don't.
If they're going to dump Derrick Henry the ball off in these games, he is a different category of player for our.
No. We've seen this story before, Davis. They're not going to.
No, we haven't.
Tipping the ball to Henry. Yes, we have.
We have never seen this.
This is his career high in targets.
I guarantee 6 targets is the most he's ever got.
But he's had receiving spikes where he got like 4 or 5, and we're like, oh, if Derrick Henry starts. I mean, here's the whole thing, man.
He had 4 targets last week, though.
Did he really?
Yeah. No. So if you look at his career high in targets, he's got more than 3 targets 4 times, and 2 of them were to start this season with a new offensive coordinator.
I mean, bro, it's just so tilting. Like, you spend all week constructing your lineups, your double stacks, your bring backs, your pivots, like all this stuff. And then Derrick Henry just comes in and smashes on your face, and the whole thing is ass. Like, if you didn't have Derrick Henry in tournaments, you didn't make any money. And I didn't have any. And it's just like, man, so infuriating. So infuriating. Like, I don't know why we ever fade the big dog.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
I get so excited every time I look at the Tennessee passing offense. Like, when I think of what Tannehill, with his historical efficiency, with Julio, with AJ Brown, like, I want to double stack them every single week. And then Henry comes in, or Julio does what he does, or AJ Brown falls apart like he did today. Like, Tennessee is going to be the thing that I do every single week, and it's going to be tilting because I'm never going
to
get it right.
Dude, it was 4th-and-1, do or die. And they're just like, yeah, we'll give it to Henry and he'll score. And he did. Like, obviously, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, they play the Colts next week. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with Henry? I mean, he just got 41 touches in this game.
Dude, I mean, I'm going to fade him
again and go broke, bro.
Dude, this is what I do. I'm not going to play him, and I'm going to tilt it.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think that we are in the midst of Kyler having the 2019 Lamar season. Like, it seems like he is just going to be the addition of Rondale is so big. And honestly, we make fun. But AJ Green is better than like Keyshawn Johnson and Damir Bird, you know, just those total stiffs that they've been playing at outside wide receiver, or even honestly, Larry Fitzgerald. Like, AJ Green is like slightly better than Larry Fitzgerald was. And Max Williams has like 85 receiving yards. And I mean, none of that stuff matters. Kyler is just taking it to the next level. Like, he's just so good.
You guys don't care, but in my most important seasonal league, I had Kyler, Kupp, and Lockett, and I'm going to lose. Because
I mean, you should try to play good.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, not it. Like, he just ruined my whole day. This freaking guy, man, like, unbelievable. Like, I won money today, and I'm still just so insanely tilted because Derrick Henry just like galloped on my face. Like, I don't, man.
Arizona is going to be fun all year. Chase Edmonds also, I think, adds a huge like layer to that versus these just terrible running backs they've run out there for the last couple of years. I think him back there with Kyler, he basically functions as a wide receiver off to his side. So like him, Rondale plus Hopkins, Arizona's going to smash all year. And Kyler,
AJ Green scored like a pretty sick touchdown today where he like stiff armed a dude and leaped into the end zone. And I think Davis is right. Like, AJ Green himself is not like any sort of good fantasy option, but just way better than the stuff they've been trotting out in the past. And that like just really raises Kyler's floor in a big way.
I have a confession. One of my single entry teams I set up as a Kyler team, and I played AJ Green over Rondale Moore.
Man, we're talking about Nate's brand going downhill, bro. Yeah. Did you play Dustin in the lineup too?
Well, so I was arguing with Colin all week. I thought our projection on Rondale Moore was too low, right? I was like, no, he's gonna go nuclear because he's the guy. And they were like, you know, AJ Green played 86% of the snaps last week. He had a 19% target share. And I was like, you know what? For once, I'm just gonna roll with the old guy. And of course, you know, I just immediately get punished. So tilting.
I mean, the hard thing about Rondale is like, again, it's the gadget usage stuff. I mean, I think he had like 24 routes run, 8 targets on that, and his ADOT was like 3.5. I mean, he's ultimately like running back routes. So that is going to be hard to like, his price is not what it was, and it's going to keep going up. What was he, 4K this week? He's going to be 5.5 next week. It's going to be like, if he's at the same price as like a Jamar, I'm playing Jamar every time. Like,
and his touchdown was wide open, bro. Like, they just like didn't cover him, you know? Like, you can't count on that happening.
So
do they have salaries up for next week?
No, I'm guessing because of what Rondale did that his price is going to shoot.
Yeah. I feel so robbed that DeAndre Hopkins only got 15 DraftKings points when just like three more catches from him would have done the business for me. Feels
yeah,
very
if he had just done what Tyreek Hill did last week and you just swapped to him and got a 40 burger, everything would have been fine, you know, no big deal.
Why can't I just swap to the nuts every time, you know?
I mean, if you swap every week, Davis, eventually you will hit the nuts a couple times.
So I actually think the Rams are kind of interesting to talk about outside of, you know, obviously the results of what happened, but Woods was targeted far more and ran way more routes in this game than he did in week one. What do we make of that? Like, is there going to be like a buy the dip spot on Robert Woods? Cause I imagine Cup is just going to be insane chalk over the next couple of slates.
I certainly think there could be. So a little gadget floor equity, 2 rushes for 6 yards today. We always like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's one of those things where historically they've been really like they projected out in like seasonal. They projected out really similarly. Obviously, we saw Woods kind of leave the field a little more than expected last week, but I didn't see the snap counts today. But if they're back up, I think that's like a clear spot to kind of buy.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he ran, I think, 31. They basically ran out of 3 wide receiver set almost every time where it was like it was Cut, Van Jeffers, and Woods. I mean, I think he ran almost the same amount of routes as Cup. It was just Cup's usage was
so
nuts.
The Chiefs and the Chargers play next week in Arrowheads. I imagine the total for that game. I mean, there's probably a line right now, but I would like – The interesting thing about that is the Chiefs will never get that ownership in cash that the Cowboys do because they're all like a little bit expensive. Do you guys like? Are we gonna play Kelce next week? Is that gonna be what happens? Like, are we gonna be tilting the Kelce like 5 for 65 game? Like, is that a preview of next week's show?
Certainly could be. I mean, it really obviously it depends on like what the salaries are and constructions are. But I do think the Chiefs tend not to be as owned in cash as they always should be. Like, they just always smash, you know, their target usage is always really concentrated. Like, it's always Hill, Kelce, or both. And going back to the Rams, really interesting. They only had 5 targets today and threw it 30 times. So obviously, one game doesn't make a trend, but if that's something that holds true, that they get a little Chiefs-like and start just like really utilizing like their core group of guys and not like a ton else, I think that's something we can take advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, I think for you can only really play Woods over Cup in tournaments. Like in cash games, Woods or Cup's usage right now is so nuts. I mean, his target share is like 40% after 2 weeks.
He's like
Michael Thomas.
Here's a good one for you guys next week. That was too much. Here's a good one for you guys next week. Daniel Jones and the Giants play at home to the Atlanta Falcons. Daniel Jones has like 25 fantasy points in back-to-back games.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is like Lamar Jackson, only he can throw a little bit.
Lamar just threw an interception as we are recording.
His second interception already.
Yeah, he's having a little bit. Poor Lamar.
Sterling Shepard could be interesting. I mean, versus Atlanta. Like, Sterling gets usage and nobody wants to play anybody from New York. So, understandable. But yeah, Cup is going to be, if Cup is under 7K, he's going to be 50% owned in cash games next week.
The Rams play the Buccaneers, who have given up a bunch of passing stats the last couple weeks. I mean,
because you can't run on him at all, and it's going to be Sony Michel if Henderson's out again.
What if Cordarrelle Patterson is priced at $4,600 for running back? Like, what are we playing? Are we like what would CPAT have to be priced at for us to consider playing him?
Well, he's on DK as a wide receiver, right? So you,
yeah, I think the bar is lower for you than it is for us, Davis. You love
it. It would just be amazing. I mean, clearly, like the Mike Davis experiment lasted 1 week. How many touches did Mike Davis get today?
I feel like it was less than Cordarrelle Patterson, though I stopped counting.
Mike Davis got it was nine low. Rushes. Mike Davis got nine rushes. CPAT got seven. Mike Davis was targeted seven times, and CPAT was targeted six. So we just barely out-touched Patterson, but obviously looked way worse. I mean, CPAT scored twice, and honestly should have been three times because he did not really step out on that one where he stepped out, but they whistled the play dead. So
yeah, he also had seven rushes for 11 yards. Like, let's not
go nuts, Davis. Yeah, I'm not wasting a spot on him.
Yeah,
but you can do it in tournaments.
Did we learn? I mean, did we learn anything else from this slate? Maybe. Oh, Courtland Sutton is back. How about that?
Oh, yes. Sutton's usage, but he's hurt. I think he got hurt this game.
He got hurt?
I thought so.
I mean, I saw he had 258 air yards, which was the most of anyone this week.
I think on the flip side of that game, Marvin Jones, I mean, you know, you guys played him in week one and then his price went up and everyone was like, no, I'm good. He had 11 more targets.
Yeah.
Like he is kind of clearly making himself the top guy in that offense. And certainly if,
dude, you know, I mean, I just got to call a spade. Chenault had an absolutely miserable game. I think
Chenault's done.
That's clearly not true, but he.
Okay. If you cannot produce. If you cannot be one of the main, like the share of an offense, when you have James Robinson, Carlos Hyde, the corpse of Marvin Jones, who are these people that he can't beat out for touches? And like,
wow, I mean, he was fine last week. He had like 11 targets last week.
Davis, what round was Laviska Shenault drafted in the NFL draft? Was it like fourth or fifth?
Second.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
If you can't produce in this offense, like right now, when there's literally nobody else there to steal work from you, I'm off Shenault fully.
42nd overall. I mean, being off Shenault entirely seems bad, but I don't know if I would play him next week. The Jaguars play Arizona next week. So I might recant on that statement.
Well, he's like the third wide receiver in like one of the worst offenses in the league.
We're double sacking Arizona, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, I think that Arizona's defense, it just feels like they're primed to give up lots of passing yards because of how the offense plays. And Lawrence, I think is good. He didn't in this game, but I do think Trevor Lawrence is going to give us some Bortles energy in some of these games. Like, I think there's going to be lots of like 220 yard and two touchdowns second halves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jacoby Tua got hurt, right? So Jacoby came in, threw it 40 times. Devontae Parker and Waddle led with 9 and 8 targets. I don't even think we talked about it. Did either of you guys didn't play Waddle in cash, right?
No, but no. I pretty heavily considered it. I thought he would have been a pretty good play.
Yeah, we didn't get to it. He was the third guy that I played. He was my third receiver, Waddle. I didn't feel amazing about it, but as it turns out,
What about the Bills wide receivers, Davis? Do you think that, I mean, I know a lot of people played Beasley or Sanders in cash. You played Sanders. Do you think that that's like playable moving forward, or did this week change that for you at all?
I mean, Josh Allen just looks like shit, right? Like I know that they smoked the Dolphins today. What they scored. Yeah. But I mean, he averaged 5.4 yards per attempt. Yeah. Stephon Diggs only had 4 for 60, 2 for 48 for Sanders, 2 for 36 for Cole Beasley. You could say maybe the numbers would have gotten a little bit better had it been a more competitive game, but Josh Allen looks like he's in like some kind of like Space Jam Monstar thing where all of his abilities just like seem to have left his body. He just really does not look good to me.
Like, well, you guys know that Hermsmeyer has been kind of ringing the bell for regression for Josh Allen this season. He also rings the bell for regression for Bitcoin, so we can't like take his word as gold by any stretch, but yeah, Allen has had two pretty poor games in a row now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think last week was versus the Steelers. This week they got up early and I don't think they really needed much. Like, I mean, what was it? 5 minutes into the game and they were up
and they,
14
they
points
play,
'cause of Singletary.
They play the Washington football team next week. So I don't think I will be interested in playing any of their players, to be honest. Like, that just seems like kind of like a gross game. I don't know. I am like more for like seasonal stuff. I'm like Diggs was going in the first round, which seems concerning because the
I have a lot of Diggs in seasonal.
The target volume has not even particularly been there. Like, and how many targets did Diggs get last week? Like,
it's been under double digits.
I'm wrong. No, he had the same amount of targets as Beasley last week. They both had 13.
But that's what I'm saying. That's not what we wanted from like this Buffalo offense. We expected this Buffalo offense to lead the league and pass rate over expected again.
Well, we expected them to have the volume and to be efficient on that volume, like 380 yard passing games and stuff. And that does not look like what they're set up for at the moment.
Yeah. Well, Diggs is still, I mean, he's like seventh in the league in expected receiving. Okay. He's still getting the workload. It's just not panning out. I mean, he's still got a 25% target share with a really nice, like his ADOT is still double digits. So Diggs will be fine. Brandon Cooks.
Houston, 14 targets. No one else on the team had more than two.
Like, are we going to be having to play Brandon Cooks because of this volume he's going to see at low ownership?
Yeah.
I don't want to say yes, but at some point you need to consider it, I suppose. Like, it feels really bad, like playing any Houston Texans player, but
yeah. I mean, he literally got like a target on 50% of his routes. Like, that's nuts. I mean, he's the only guy.
Yeah.
What else do they have?
I don't think I can do it though. Like, I remember I brought up Mark Ingram. How did they distribute the rushing touches this week?
Well,
Tyrod was having a good game until he got hurt.
This week it was Ingram with 14, Lindsay with 5, and then Johnson had 6 carries.
Yeah, you don't want any of that. And if you spent a bunch of money, your fab money in seasonal on Mark Ingram last week, I don't know what to tell
No,
you.
But Cooks could be interesting. I mean, Nico, their rookie wide receiver or whatever, Nico Collins got injured, and then I think the corpse of Danny Amendola is still running around. And he got injured, so it's like they literally have Cooks and like no one else. So if he's the only wide receiver next week, he might be worth a look.
Should we talk about how bad the Steelers are, or should we just leave it at that?
I thought they were the best team in the league.
I mean, yeah. So did I.
Losing to Derek Carr and Kenyon Drake. I mean, this is
you
bad.
Can't possibly this team have, so have bad. Any faith in this team, dude. Like just they are god awful.
No,
they're
I actually really do. I actually do have like zero faith in this team, and the fact that the Raiders have beaten the Ravens and now the Steelers in back to back weeks is just like what's going on here, like. It's really not good, but you know, I think Deontay got hurt on the very last play of the game too. Like trash time, 20 seconds left. Like he catches a pass to get the bonus. It's all lit. Like, you know, I'm ready to come on here and dunk cause he's on my single entry team. Then I think he would hurt. So if that's the case, I mean, it's really bad for Pittsburgh. Like this was obviously Najee was kind of like the chalk and he played every snap, got all this usage, but dude, I mean, this team, this offense is really, really, really bad.
And, yeah, the Najee drafters got like 2019 Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, Najee is unplayable in tournaments. I like his upside is so low being on this offense, and his ownership is going to be so high because in cash games he's such great play because he's getting all this volume. But like, Najee was like the easiest fade of the week in tournaments.
Yeah, seems bad.
Yeah, geez, Ben looks so bad. I watched like a couple minutes of this game and there was a couple throws that he made that it was just like, this is sad. Like get someone else in there. I mean, for Claypool.
I have a confession to make. The Pittsburgh Steelers are at home next week against the Bengals. And I may throw one last Hail Mary stack. I may make that my single entry team. And if it doesn't happen for me, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to be off it, but I think I got to give it one more go. Chase Claypool time.
So the 49ers, I'm not even going to acknowledge that, Sammy. I'm moving right on. So the 49ers play home to the Packers next week. And I guess we'll learn more about the Packers on Monday night. But Jamichael Hasty got hurt. Trey Sermon lost a fumble on his very first NFL carry. And Trenton Cannon was active, got one carry for -1 yard. I mean, Elijah Mitchell was certainly not great, right? 17 carries for 42 yards. Hasty got the 5 targets. Mitchell was only targeted twice. I think that Mitchell might just kind of be like a last man standing type thing in their backfield next week. Like if Hasty's hurt, what are they going to do? They going to play Trent Cannon? Is that going to happen?
I mean, here's the other thing. We all were like, dude, the Niners are so well coached. They're going to be so good. You look at that team. It's like, what if they're not good at all?
Well, they just got to, they got to go to Lance, bro.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know what to do with the Niners. The only thing I know what to do with is their receiving volume. And all I want is
Debo. Debo got
is
hurt.
Debo. Though.
He got hurt.
Did he?
Did yeah. he? Did I miss that? No.
I don't know. I don't know if it's serious, but I know that he was injured and off with the trainers at one time. I will do a quick Twitter search.
I was going to say, I didn't see that. I mean, I saw that he finished the game with like four times more work than anybody else on the team.
They say it was just cramps. So, but I think he did not play. Like, I think he came out of the game for a significant portion. But yeah, I mean, and the Ayuk thing is so bizarre. I mean, he was targeted twice in this game. Like, what are we doing given Trent Sherfield more targets than Brandon Ayuk? Like, what's going on here? It's so weird.
I don't know what he did, bro. He did something. Like, he didn't get the vax or something. Like, he is complete doghouse. And he was really good last season. Like, it yes. wasn't like, you know, like when Debo was out, like he was kind of a bona fide number one wide receiver for a couple of weeks. And he, you know, he's a rookie. He was drafted high. I don't know what's going on there, man, but it's something.
Yeah. It's one thing to like be pissed at like Trey Sermon or whatever. You got a rookie who did something stupid in camp. It's another thing to be like, to do this to a receiver who literally has a year of like NFL high level production, high level draft and everything else. Like I don't understand at all what San Francisco's doing. And I don't think Shanahan's as sharp as we all think.
So what are the odds that Davis leaves himself swaptions next week for Rams Buccaneers players?
I mean, 100%. Like we don't even have prices yet, but I'm leaving swaptions, dude.
You got the Seahawks receivers.
The swaptions have been very kind to me, dude.
Davis, just build a strong cash lineup, and then you won't have to like throw out these massive swings where you're taking
volatility swing of
60 points.
You got to just play a $3,500 defense and Damian Harris on DraftKings. And as long as you do that, you're good to go.
I just checked, and the DraftKings balance says
I got to go look at, Sammy's. Okay. Now, Sammy had Cup, so never mind. But imagine if Sammy didn't have Cup and he had Alvin Kamara, Troutman in the Jets defense staring at him. I mean,
yeah, but I did have Cup because I'm not like a stone fish. Like that's just how it works, man.
Davis, just be clear about something. You took four shots at wide receiver and you didn't get the top, like the number one or number two guy of the week.
He wasn't though. He wasn't. I had him projected for like the same amount of points as CD.
As who?
And I had Amari and Keenan projected for more. I bet you did too.
No, I had Amari and Cooper were like right there, and then Keenan was number three, and then CD was like number four.
I mean, what are you doing? Giving like Cedric Wilson an 18% target share?
Davis,
I mean,
Cooper Kupp at $6,000 and he sees a 40% target share on the season. Like,
he was like $1,000 less than
he's $1,000 cheaper than all these other guys.
And Cooper and Keenan Allen. Like, yeah.
I'm not saying he wasn't a good play. I'm just saying that I think my side of the 2v2 is completely reasonable.
I feel like if there was six wide receiver slots, Davis still would have not got to Cooper Kupp.
No, my 2v2 was Sanders and Keenan versus Chase and Kupp. And the Chase Kupp side.
And you took the wrong side. You took the wrong side before lock.
Yeah, but I will take the wrong side again. And that'll just happen because that just happens. Like sometimes.
People love this show, Davis, because you
will. I will take the wrong side again.
Well, sometimes you get the right side and sometimes you get the wrong side. You can't know these things before the games kick off, bro.
Well, actually, you can. When two of the guys are underpriced for the role, and Ja'Marr Chase is like clearly under. I mean,
yeah, but Sanders Chase was and Cup were clearly underpriced too. Sanders, was
except he's the 35-year-old like Davis.
Davis bad. Sanders wasn't was a bad play, but like bad. He was clearly the worst of these four options.
That's yes. So that is a fair point. That it's like what it was like the 2v2 last week with what it was Mike Davis and T. Higgins, right? Or some no, I don't remember what it was. But yeah, there was one guy who was clearly the worst. And I did the opposite thing on that is I took the two middling options and avoided the clear guy who was the worst of the four eligible players. And I get, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Like last week, I feel like I made the wrong choice with the 2v2 before lock in playing Mike Davis. And this week, I feel like my decision was fine.
Noel's taken. This is what Noel's taken.
I'm not taking it. Like clearly my team was bad, right? But I'm like, I will say when I make a bad play, everyone knows I will be the first one to be like, I'm an idiot. I played X, Y, and Z at this egregious price. I mean, certainly I'm never playing Emmanuel Sanders again. I learned my lesson there. But I don't feel that bad about it other than having to hit that deposit button on DraftKings. Haven't had to hit that button in a while, but we got wiped out today.
When you can fade a rookie and the clear alpha of the league in Cooper Kupp at 40% target share for a 35-year-old third wide receiver on the Bills, you got to do it. You just got to do it.
Not only did Nate take some L's, even though he had a good week, he's given some L's out too. I like this. I like this new Nate. This is great.
The Damian Harris thing was so bad. I cannot believe I got away with that.
I cannot believe the combination of Damian Harris and a $3,500 defense that got 5 points, like against a quarterback that never turns the ball over. Like Tyrod leads NFL history in the lowest interception percentage ever. And Nate's like, dude, fire it up. Got to get the Browns D in there.
I love you guys. You guys are
the defensive amazing. Line matchup, dude. It was all about the defensive line matchup.
It's all about the defensive line matchup. All right. We're getting out of here, everyone. Thank you for listening. We'll, of course, be back next week.